This tape will become part of the Scandinavian Immigrant Experience collection at Pacific Lutheran University. The date today is May 7th, 1981. The interview is taking place in the home of Judith Tollefson and is being conducted by Maureen Nesvig. What is your full name, please?
Judith Christine Tollefson. When I came over from Norway, it was Judith Christine Mikkelsen.
And your maiden name was?
Edvardsen.
When were you born?
I was born June 25th, 1900.
And where were you born?
Træna, Helgeland, Norway.
Træna is a village?
Træna is an island, a chain of islands on the Norwegian coast.
And this is in the fjord country, would you say?
And the island is very, the outermost island on the coast.
Mm-hmm. What were your parents' names?
My father's name was Edward Johansson. My mother's name was Cornelia Johansson.
They both had the same, same name.
Yes.
And your father's occupation?
He was a fisherman.
Did he have his own boat, or what? How did he
work? Yes, most of the time, yes. He was in with another man, but most of the time he was fishing. Quite a few of them together in Lofoten Island and also in Træna.
They would go all the way up to the Lofoten Islands.
Mm-hmm.
How long would he be gone at a time?
Oh, about from 2.5 months and sometime up to 3. But then they went up further north.
Mm-hmm. And your mother's occupation?
Housewife.
Uh-huh. How many children were there in your family?
There was 5 children in my family. I was the oldest. And then it was Christian, Alfred, Amelius. My sister's name was Alpha. And I also had an older brother that died.
Would any of your brothers or sisters help with the fishing, or was this strictly?
My oldest brother died when he was small. And the second one died when he was 15, during the bad flu we had in Norway at that time.
You had an epidemic?
We had an epidemic, and they call it Spanska sjukan.
Do you remember your grandparents?
Yes, I do. I remember both of my grandfather.
Can you tell us a little bit about your grandfather?
My grandfather was a fisherman too, and he was married 3 times. So there were some half-brothers and half-sisters. He was a very happy family. And when I remember him, he was not fishing anymore, but he was having his little farm. And also they took care of an awful lot of birds from the sea that come and lay their eggs. And
he took care of birds?
Birds, yeah. You know what they did at that time? They made the nest for them around the houses. And they come up there. It was very peaceful. And they could lay, maybe 18, 20, 25. Seabird all around the house and even in on the porch. At that time I do remember they had a long bench in the entrance where they come in, and they used to put the water bucket to carry the water from the well, and on the bench was the big water bucket, and I do remember bird was laying underneath the benches.
And why did he have this interest in helping the birds, or?
Most of them did it. most of them, they lived on the island. Because you see, they got the eggs. It was wild eggs, but it was beautiful egg. And people, that was their way of eating.
They ate the eggs of the seabirds?
Oh, yes.
Oh, did you ever eat those?
Oh, yes, a lot of them. Uh-huh. Several kinds. Yeah.
What was your grandfather's name?
My grandfather's name was Johan.
Do you remember any of your other grandparents?
I remember my father, but very, very faintly. And my grandmother was passed away on that time. And also, he was one of the unfortunate. He drowned. And I do remember that.
That was a fishing accident?
I think so. You know, most of the time in good weather, they used to go out on the boat, and the rowboat, and they was fishing enough for the evening meal. So they had fresh fish.
Just in a small rowboat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he come close to a breaker.
Now, what about the background of your family name? Your name was Edvardsson.
Yes.
Because your father
was Edward Johansson.
His first name was Edward.
Yes.
And that made you Edvardsson?
Uh-huh. At that time.
That's the way it worked then. Uh-huh. When did you come to the United States?
I come over here in 28. My husband come over here in 25. So it was 3 years from he come and to I could come. And I had the 2 children when I come.
Maybe we should back up and discuss your, how did you meet your husband then in Norway? Was he from the same area?
Just about. Yeah, just about from the same area.
Mm-hmm. And so you married, and what was his occupation?
A fisherman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why did he decide to come to America?
Well, time wasn't quite as good in Norway then as it is now. And he had 2 brothers and 1 sister over here. And his sister was married to a fisherman. And he had his own boat, halibut boat.
Halibut.
He went to Alaska. So he decided to come here and try to make the living.
With his brother?
With his brother-in-law.
With his brother-in-law.
Yeah.
So he left in 1925. Mm-hmm. And then how did you occupy yourself in Norway?
Well, at that time I had 2 children and we had a little piece of land. So we had a few animals. Mm-hmm. And we took care of that.
What types of animals then?
Cows, sheep. Mm-hmm. And at that time when I left, we sold.
This was your property with your husband?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
Uh-huh. And where was this home? In
that was in Træna too.
In on the island?
Yes, yeah. On the island.
How did you feel about your husband's going originally?
Well, I was kind of sad in a way.
So you were sad when your husband came over?
Yes. At that time, it wasn't quite as easy to come as it is now. Then it took about 3 weeks mm-hmm. from you left home mm-hmm. until you come to the destination here.
Mm-hmm. How then did you decide finally to come? What were the circumstances where you and your children came over?
Well, after he had been here for a while, of course it was the intention when he left, when he could earn enough for to get a ticket and get a home. He wants the family over. So I was very, I felt very good about that.
You were ready to come?
Oh, yes.
What were your children's names before we go on?
My my daughter was the oldest, and her name was Mary. And the boy was named Pierre. Mary was 9 when we come, and he was 7.
Did you receive a ticket from your husband? How did you...
Oh, yes. The ticket was sent to me, but I also did have to wait before I could come for about 2 years from I sent in my, for to get my reservation for to come over. And at that time when I come over, my husband bought the home and we moved into a nice place.
You made reservations then 1 year after your husband came, and then 2 years
yes.
later you were able to.
Right.
With whom would you make the reservation?
Oh, for the immigration.
The immigration department, the government?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It had to be made reservation, and at that time there was a lot of people that come over, and we really have to wait a long time.
It was common for people to wait then?
Very much so.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So how did you, can you tell me about your trip over? You left your home, and how did you make your progress to America then?
Well, after I left my home, and of course we was in process of selling, you know, and when everything was taken care of, I left my mother and father and my brother, sister, and I was very happy I started, because I did know at that time it wouldn't be too long, but like I say, it was 3 weeks. And when I come over here, the children took sick on the boat just before we landed.
Seasick, were they?
I think. I heard later we thought it was, what do you call it, they break out in a little pimple.
Measles,
yeah.
Was it?
We thought it was measles. And we had to go to Ellis Island, and I stayed there for 3 days. And they took the children to the hospital.
They took your children from you at Ellis Island? They went somewhere else away from the island?
To the hospital, no, no.
Right on the island?
All of them that come over had to go to Ellis Island
uh-huh.
before you could get through immigration.
Right.
And start.
So was the hospital on Ellis Island
oh,
where they
yes.
took your children? And then they were there, were they treated by anyone or?
They were treated by doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Where did you stay then for 3 days?
Well, they have a great big establishment there. Hundreds of people could come and be there. And they waited for to go through the immigration and come in, or go wherever they were supposed to go. But it took me 3 days. And then when they have been there for 3 days, they find out it was not missus. But it was change of climate and food.
Change of food. What was the food like on the ship then? Was it? It must have been different than something you were used to.
Well, I really believe probably both emotional and different kind of food and all that. So. At least that's what they told me.
Now, the three of you came alone, and did you leave from Oslo then?
Yeah, we left from Oslo.
And what type of a ship did you come on?
We had a big Norwegian boat, very nice. The name was Stavangerfjord. So it was a beautiful boat.
Were there mostly other Norwegians immigrating? Were those?
A lot of Norwegians. Mm-hmm. We had a family, I think they had 7 children, and she came alone with them. Mm-hmm. So we learned to know one another.
You made friends?
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they come to Seattle too, as we did. And we was friends many, many, many years after we come over here.
What part of Norway had they come from?
They come from the northern part too, but further north.
Mm-hmm.
And they could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When did you come? What month and year was it again for the?
I came in 28 in September. The school had just started when I come.
Your children had been in school in Norway, so.
Oh yes.
That interrupted their schooling. Did any of you speak any English when you came?
Not a bit. Couldn't understand a thing.
Did that make it difficult for you once you got here?
But I'll tell you, the worst part was when we left Ellis Island and they took us on the train. And somehow or another, we didn't know. They took me on the wrong train with the children and I ended up in Canada, on the border of Canada.
You and your children
were
on the Canadian border.
Uh-huh.
Then what did you do?
Well, we couldn't go any further. We had to change train, and then we had to stop in Minneapolis.
How were you able to make all these changes without being able to understand
English? Very little, I'll tell you, it was tough. But then they had a very Jew called those people when they come. That are usually somebody that know your language and they can take care of you a little. And that's what they did on Ellis Island too.
Did they had Norwegians there or were they Norwegian speaking?
It was Swedish, that lady I talked with on Ellis Island.
Uh-huh.
She was a darling.
This was a lady who took care of people? Did she stay in the same place where you lived?
I don't know on Ellis Island. He had a job doing that.
But it was her job to talk to you. And
right. Mm-hmm. And then when I come to Minneapolis also, there was one that spoke Norwegian. Mm-hmm. And she told me not to worry. But they put us on the hotel. We come back around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they put us in the hotel. I couldn't understand anything. And she helped us to get something to eat. And in the morning, I am not sure, but I think it must have been around 9 o'clock. We was on the depot again. And then we was on the train coming.
And you were on your way to Seattle?
Yeah.
When you first arrived in New York City, what was your reaction, your first impression of the United States?
I was scared. I never have seen anybody with lipstick before. And I thought people were very, I shouldn't say sophisticated. Oh yes, there were some of them, but very brutal.
You thought people looked brutal?
Oh yes, there were some of them. When I came to Ellis Island, there was an awful lot of Italian Jews. Arabian, you name it.
People from all over the world.
Every religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember one day somebody was, he had a little fire going and he was praying with that fire. And later on I got to know what he was Muslim, I think. I might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you met all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I never forget the first meal I had over there. He put me into a big dining hall. There's hundreds of people. And the bread was not cut through, it was cut. And all of them just took the slice of bread. And
people were grabbing at the bread?
Uh-huh.
What?
I couldn't eat.
Why not?
Well,
you
didn't know anybody. You couldn't understand.
You were frightened?
Very much so. People, children was crying, a lot of children was crying. And then I did tell that lady, she was sort of an interpreter.
Uh-huh.
And I say, I just couldn't eat. I was sick, both emotional and sort of physical too.
Mm-hmm.
And she told them, and they put me into a dining room the next morning.
A separate dining room? Were there fewer people in there?
Fewer people, and it was served with knives and forks and plates. And you waited on the table.
So that did that make it easier for you?
Oh, yes. Very nice. I was very scared.
Uh-huh. Were your children scared too, do you think?
Well, the children was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I was only allowed once a day to go and visit them. And they were scared. Mm-hmm. The girl was special. The boy, I don't think he thought too much about it. He was just 7. The girl was more. Mm-hmm. I do remember when I went from the hospital, I heard her crying, "Mama, Mama." But everything was all right.
So you left Minneapolis then after you had the help and you were on your way to Seattle. Your husband was living in Seattle then?
He was out fishing.
But
was in Alaska, but he was living
his
in
Seattle. Port, his base was Seattle.
Yes, yes.
And he had a home ready for you? Is that right? What did you think about the United States as you were traveling west on the train? Do you remember having any impressions on the train or...
I met English people. She was Norwegian. No, he was Swedish and she was English. And it was a tremendous help for me on the train. Mm-hmm. And I do remember I had a lot of silver dollars. And the fellow said, that way too heavy to carry like that. I'll give you some paper money. Mm-hmm. And boy, let me tell you, I kind of thought he cheated me. Because it was paper.
Do you think he did cheat you?
I kind of wondered. But then they started to tell me paper was a much easier to carry than the big silver dollar, you know. And I know he had a chance. I think I have about 60 now then. You know, 16 silver dollars in a little purse was quite heavy.
Yes. So did you get 16 paper dollars in return?
Uh-huh.
But it didn't seem quite the same to you?
No, not really. Silver was silver, you know.
And you could, it felt like money. So. Was there anyone to meet you when you arrived in Seattle?
Yes, my husband's sister was there with her family. My husband was fishing with her husband.
How long was it before they came back then, that trip?
I think it was 7 weeks almost.
Now this was in the fall of the year.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Were they halibut fishing?
They was halibut fishing, but he sold up in Ketchikan. And then he went out again. And the trip was usually 3 weeks. And I do believe it was close to 7 or a little better than 7 weeks before I met my husband.
So did you go live with his sister, or did you have a separate home for yourselves then?
Yes, I had my own home I went into, but she checked in on us and helped us the first few days. But also next to my home, there was a Norwegian. In fact, he was that when they built that home we moved into. He was a builder. Uh-huh. And I know his family quite well from Norway.
Oh, so you were able to talk with
yes.
Someone. This was your next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
What part of Seattle was this?
It was Seattle.
Is that what they call Ballard now?
No,
that's different.
That's
right.
Seattle. And you have to go across the whole Seattle before you come to Ballard.
Right. How did you get accustomed to settling in and having a home in the United States compared to Norway? What was that like?
Oh, it was a little different. But everything was in the home when I come. There was the beds and everything was just very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Dishes, whatever I want. He have really fixed it up nice to welcome.
Did you bring anything with you? Special keepsakes or mementos?
Oh yeah, a little, uh-huh. But really not too much either.
Uh-huh.
Because in the first place we have very little.
Yeah.
In the second place we only have a trunk for 3 people.
You brought a trunk for the 3 of you?
Uh-huh. And a suitcase, and that's it.
Yes.
So there was not very much we could take, and very little did we have.
When did your children start school? Did they start school right away?
Well, we come over on a Thursday, and we took them to school on Monday, and they could not understand anything. But there was a lot of children in the neighborhood, and we had to take the bus. And they went to school 2 days. The third day, they would not go. And I thought, oh my Lord, what am I going to do? And I thought, I cannot let them get by with that. And I knew where the school was, so I walked. Well, there was sort of a little triangle there. And I walked after I put the children into school. The principal came, and he patted them on the shoulder and took them up to the desk. And I couldn't understand him. He could not understand me. But he did phone my neighbor. My neighbor was that one that brought the children to school the first time.
This was the builder?
Yes.
The man?
Mm-hmm. Yes. His name was Svensson. And it took me a long time before I could find the road, because we come along the waterfront the whole way. But then when we come up to the school, there was sort of a circle. And I took that circle twice, and I met the school, and I quite couldn't figure it out. I thought, oh my, how dumb I am. I had the water on the right hand, the left hand going, and I should have it on the right hand going home. And I did find home, but it was quite a ways.
How long a walk do you think you took?
Oh, I'm sure it was about close to 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a ways. And the neighbor was kind of worried he couldn't find me. And he thought, maybe I have started to walk. But when I come home, well, I believe it was the principal that phoned him and told him I had brought the children. And he also say he had never seen anybody that was a newcomer bring the children in that faith they have to learn and be courageous enough for to take them. So I do remember Mr. Svensson come and he gave me a pat on the back and he said, good girl. It was wonderful.
Did your children stay in school after that day?
They never went to. They never left it.
How did they just begin to pick up English then? Did they take special classes?
No. They started to. I never forget the third day when they come home. The fourth day they was going to school. I heard you say, here come the bus.
They said it in English.
Uh-huh. I couldn't understand it, and I want to know. Well, they say, the bus is coming. There it is. So I did learn, but what I really learned, the language for to start with, I sent them to Sunday school, and they brought home the Sunday school paper, and then we started together, me and my children. Everything turned out fine.
You really learned English from your children then?
Uh-huh.
Did you take any other classes anywhere else?
Never.
Huh. How long before you felt you could get along in English?
Oh, at first I was awful scared. I had to go to the store quite a few times, and we walked up, we called it up to the junction. And I was so fortunate. I met a Swedish man that was working there, a clerk.
Mm-hmm.
He was great. He always took me around, and he went around the racks. He say, now, when you see that label and this label and so forth, you would know what is in it. And my sister-in-law was so good. She always helped me.
Mm-hmm.
So everything turned out fine.
So you had people around you to help you out?
Very much.
Which church was it that you went to?
We went to Alkai Congregational Church. That was so far to go up to First Lutheran.
That was downtown?
No, that was up on the junction, we call it.
Mm.
But when we went to the Congregational Church, my neighbor belonged to that. So that's why my children went with them, and we started there.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a couple of trees. Sunday we went up to the first Lutheran. And I cannot remember the pastor's name up there, but I do remember he say, you should not go to the Congregational Church because you lose your Christian faith, the Lutheran faith. And I did have to, he was good, he was Norwegian, he mm-hmm. spoke Norwegian to me, mm-hmm. that pastor. I wish I could remember his name.
Which church did you attend then after that, after he spoke to you?
Well, I did went to the Congregational
you
Church.
You kept going to the Congregational
yes,
Church anyway.
Because, yeah, because my children was there.
Mm-hmm.
They attended Sunday school, they had a program, they had a Christmas program. And you see, we lived in West Seattle 3 years. And then we bought a piece of land up in Bothell, Washington. And after that, we went to Bethel First Lutheran.
You attended Lutheran Church then, after 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, how did you learn English from the Sunday school lessons? Would they be printed in English?
They had the Sunday school paper they come home with.
Uh-huh.
And somehow or another, with the children and myself, they learned to read. I learned to understand.
Would they read to you?
Uh-huh, they read to me. And then when we got the Sunday school paper, we sat down together, the three of us. I picked up very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't took long.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I do believe it wasn't correct always when we started to speak and spell, but we made it.
What did you think about Seattle? What was it like to live in Seattle? What kind of community was it?
Well, Seattle was a big town to me, very big. Mm-hmm. We never had any town, we only had villages, you know, up on the island.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very strange, but it really did not take very long. I say within about 3 months, I went all alone in town. I took the streetcar at that time. There was not buses, but there was streetcar. And my sister-in-law went with me 2 times, and after that I walked alone.
Mm-hmm.
So everything went fine.
Did your husband continue with the fishing occupation for many years?
Oh yes, many, many years.
How much would he be away, or what was his schedule like during the year?
Well, they was home. They come home probably in 1st of November, last of October, 1st of November. And then they was home to about the middle of February.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started with the fishing gear and got it in order.
Mm-hmm.
And then they left. And they could come home, say, if the prices was good in Seattle and the halibut. They come home every 3 weeks. If there was good fishing and the prices wasn't too good here, and they could average more, they sold it up in Ketchikan because they went almost twice as many trips. Yeah.
So it all depended on the price of the fish.
Yes.
Do you think it was difficult for you, or did you have any special problems because your husband was away fishing that much?
No, not really, because my sister-in-law was wonderful, and so was my neighbor. Now, my neighbor come from the same place, really, as my husband was born. And they know the family, not him, but the family. So it was very interesting. And they was wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
They had 4 children. Very nice. They was all grown up and I come. But they was wonderful to my children.
Mm-hmm. That made it easier for you.
Oh, very much so.
What was it like keeping house in those days? Was it different from now? Do you remember any special chores or
Or no, not really. We thought we lived in the seventh heaven when I come here.
You
did. It was, we had a furniture, you know, heat all the time. In Norway we had a common wood stove. We had the store across the street, so to speak. We could go there. And you know, the storekeeper there, he was Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful people. I don't think I could ever find anybody that was as good to my children as that the missus that had the store.
This was a grocery store?
Grocery store.
Grocery store. When did you become an American citizen?
I was here for, I believe it was in 38.
Mm-hmm.
I come over in 28.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in 38 when I got my citizen paper. And would you believe it, we lived in Bothell at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I took the bus to Seattle every afternoon around 5 o'clock. And we walked from the bus depot and, oh, I don't know how many blocks. I walked alone. And I had to attend classes in Seattle for about 3 weeks before I could get my citizen paper.
You did that every day for 3 weeks?
We went once a week.
Uh-huh.
I believe. Oh, it was more than 3 weeks. I would say about 3 months.
How did your children get to be citizens? Did they have to go through the same sort of...
They got citizen on our paper.
When you became a citizen, they automatically...
My husband was a citizen at that time.
Uh-huh.
Not on that time, no. He had to be here for 5 years before he got to be a citizen.
Was that the rule with everyone? Five years?
Yeah, all of them.
Uh-huh.
The first paper you could get earlier, but the citizen paper you could not get before after 5 years. And then you had to go down to the immigration building in Seattle to be with the lawyers or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did you have to take a test or something?
Oh, yes. Oh, my, yes.
Did you contribute to the family income in any way in the early years?
Not really. I remember one year we went out and picked strawberries. It was during the Depression. And boy, believe me, there wasn't very much. And one of our neighbors had a big strawberry farm. So I was working there. We was quite a few Norwegian that was working there. And
this was when you lived in Bothell?
Well, yes. We got so much, you know, for every grade I can remember. Well.
Uh-huh.
But I do remember when I got $10. It was a lot.
What was the Depression like? Did it change your life a little bit?
It was tough. Because after all, he haven't been here very long. He paid our ticket. He paid his ticket. Then he earned the money and he paid our ticket. And then he bought a house before we come. And he tried to pick on that. Well, then the Depression came. We had to leave the house. But then we had some people we got to know on the fishing boat. And his brother had some land up in Bothell. But he went to Norway. But the land was there,
mm-hmm.
No house. So then we built a house. Not very big. I think we have 2 bedrooms upstairs, 1 downstairs.
Your husband and you built the house yourselves?
He built it. He was a jack of all trades,
mm-hmm.
which was wonderful. And there we got a home, and then I never forget it. $200 a month, $200 a year we paid to the land was paid for. And I am not sure, but I do believe we didn't pay more than $1,800 for 10 acres of land.
10 acres.
For $1,800. Beautiful land.
Now this was your home, and when you say you moved to Bothell after 3 years,
yes.
This is the place you moved to.
Right.
How long did you live there?
We moved up there, I come in 28, and we was 4 years, that mean in 32 we moved up there.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived there.
Many
My
years?
Husband died in 62, and at that time we was getting along beautiful.
You lived in that same home in Botha that you
yes.
had built?
Yeah, and we had a lovely home.
Your children grew up there and went on, did they go on to school or
yes.
college or?
Well, they graduated from Botha High School.
Uh-huh.
We belonged to the First Lutheran Church. My daughter went to PLU. He graduated from PLU.
Mm-hmm.
My boy, that year he graduated, the Second World War broke out. He enlisted, which was sad. But that's the way it was.
Yeah. I think we'll turn the tape over now and so you're talking about the Depression was hard. He had one particularly bad fishing trip?
I remember that year. Got 2.5 cents a pound for the halibut.
What would a good year have been, a good price for halibut? How much difference?
I do remember when they come home, they could get a couple of $1,000 a trip.
Uh-huh.
You know, when
the price was good.
Mm-hmm, when the price was good. But that was a really terrible. Because you see, the boat took the share first.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the food was paid equal
mm-hmm.
for all of them. And what there was left over, that was it. Not very pretty.
Did you have a garden or a vegetable garden to supplement your food during the Depression?
Not in
Seattle.
But when we come to Bottle, we had a big vegetable garden. We had everything. We got a cow. I had 3 cows up there. Chicken, pigs. We was well to do that.
You had all your own milk? And
yes.
Did you sell any of your goods or your products then?
Well, what we did, we separated, and then we could, we sold the cream.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. And we got quite a little bit out of that. And after that, just during the war, you know, a lot of people from Seattle come and they bought my butter. I didn't sell any cream, I make the butter, and then they come and they bought the butter.
Uh-huh.
So we earned quite a bit of that, yeah.
Did you churn the butter by hand?
Oh, yes, like that.
What, a special machine was it? Or
well,
what?
They have a little churn like uh-huh. that. I remember we bought them on Session Roebuck.
Uh-huh, at Sears.
And on Sears, yeah. And then we also had a wooden churn, too. We could churn twice as much. And then after we washed it, I had weathered the whole year. I washed it, salted it, fixed it up, put it in the freezer. I never bought weather. Never.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember, at that time we used to have, for the church, we have the fall festival. And we had dinner, and I make lefse.
Mm-hmm. This is the First Lutheran in Bothell.
Uh-huh.
And did you made lefse for the dinner?
I made lefse. The baby Rons have made 100 kreen of lefse. And out of that, I do believe we got 400 pieces. And I have my own brother and gave it to the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were you active in the First Lutheran Church?
Very then? Much so. Ladies' Aid and Circle, you know, and all that.
What were some of your various activities? What would you do?
Well, at that time we had the Ladies' Aid. That was the main thing
mm-hmm.
for all the Norwegian women. Oh, the Ladies' Aid was a big day, you know.
What did Ladies' Aid do? What was their function?
Well, I'll tell you. We quilted a lot of quilts, sold them, raffled them out on that time. And made dish towel, what have you.
And what was the money for then that you got?
I think it went to the church. Uh-huh. You know, they didn't have very much income in the church on that time. I remember one pastor, we had an old pastor. I am not sure if he come from Arlington or up north someplace. They was poor. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a thing. And one lady find out he hardly had anything to eat. And she went around and she got a gathering for them. And after that he helped along all of them. He gave them chicken and egg and, you know, meat and Virginia.
And you say there were quite a few Norwegian people in your church.
Oh, my, yes.
Mostly Norwegian,
would
you say?
Mostly Norwegian.
Huh? So really? Lots of Norwegians in...
Norwegian, Swedish, mm-hmm. Danish.
So do you think, was Bothell quite a Scandinavian community then?
Very much so.
It was?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And you had, did you have, you said you had 10 acres of land, but did you have neighbors close by from...
Very much, yeah. We have a lot of good neighbors, and most of them was Norwegian and Swedish.
Did you speak then, after you'd been there for several years, were you, what language would you speak with your neighbors?
English.
You spoke English,
oh, yeah.
Now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, once in a while, I guess we got it into the Norwegian too, you know.
Uh-huh. Did the church have any services in the Scandinavian languages?
No. No.
Anything special at Christmas in Norwegian? Or?
No. It was strictly English.
So what kinds of, well, for the holidays, would you celebrate in a specially Norwegian way, for say, for Christmas? Did you try to make it like a Norwegian Christmas?
Oh, yes. We had a Christmas tree, and we have the Norwegian food, like the lefse and the homemade bread and all the cookies, the fattigmann and so forth. It was Christmas.
How long in advance did you start baking?
Oh, probably a couple of 3 weeks ahead, you know. But then we always made our own rullepølse.
Now what's rullepølse?
You know, the rullepølse is something you made on beef and you roll it together with spices in it. And then you salt it. After you have salted it, you cook it and then you press it. And you cut it in thin slices. Oh, it's good.
What other kinds of special foods would there be?
Well, otherwise we have most of it, but anybody else had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after all, it was the cookies and the cake and the lefse and so forth. It was the Norwegian. But after a few years, we kind of turned into the rest of the custom, you know, what they had. Yeah. But it was Norwegian, most of it. And I do remember many a time, all the neighbors, after we have done a chore in the morning and washed our separated, you know, got the kids to school and what have you. And then we went together, all of us, and we made quilts. Or we could sew, help each other.
Mm-hmm. The ladies of the community. You got together.
The neighbors, yeah.
Almost every day you got together?
Well, of course, we all have our work. Oh, and come canning season, we all was busy. We have a lot of fruit, peaches and pears and plums and apple and you name it. We always preserved. In the fall when they come home, we made our own fish cakes and our own fish ball. And we canned and put away for winter. I don't think there was a year when I had my children, I didn't have about 800 or 900. Fruit.
Where did you keep all that food?
I had a lot, a big cellar.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really, it was not the cellar, it was the basement, but we had the fruit closet in the basement. And we had shelf and shelf and shelf.
Was that food enough to last you all winter?
Oh, we bought some, but really, very, very little we bought. We baked every week. Our bread, our cookies, our cake. We had our own salted meat. We had a fresh meat when we got a locker. It was before we got ice boxes.
Yes.
But then we had lockers we rented. And we had our meat fresh from year to year.
Mm-hmm. How did you keep all your milk refrigerated if you had no...
Oh, well, we milked twice a day, so it was fresh.
It was just always fresh.
And we did have coolers at first, but then we got refrigerators. And of course, then we was, yes.
It sounds like every day was a very busy day.
It was. You know, I remember 5 o'clock in the morning, I was up. And then down to the barn, milk, separate, let out the cows, cleaned up, washed the separator, got the children up, make the lunches, got them to school. And then you have clothes, you have to wash.
How did you do that? Did you have a machine?
Well, at the time we didn't have a machine. I think I was up there at least 2 years before, 3 years maybe, before I got a machine. Mm-hmm. Washed in the tub.
A wash tub?
Yeah. Nobody taught anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we know any better, really. Mm-hmm. But then we had neighbors that had been here for quite a few years. We had some from Helgeland. And some from Bode, way up north, there was neighbors, and it was good neighbors. When we come up there, I never forget, the first day after we moved from Seattle, and we come to our home, you know, one other lady had been going to the barn. She come with a full bucket of milk, strained it and come with the milk for the children. For us, we didn't have anything then. And another one come with a big heap of new baked waffles. They were so generous. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked with one another. You know, during the summer when the field was going to be cut. And well, my husband got the field cut most of the time. But we took the hay in. We could carry it on pitchfork.
This was in Bothell.
Uh-huh.
You had hay.
Yeah. We had big fields. No, you had 2 and 3 cows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did most of these other women have husbands who were fishing too?
Yes.
It was common that they
all of them.
So you women had a kind of a community of your own
while we really did.
While the men were away.
Mm-hmm. And I remember a good many times on Sunday evening, Sunday afternoon, we prepared all the food. And then we took the car and we went over to the beaches. We had a shepherd there. We had a wonderful time. You know the entertainment we have on that time. We made it ourselves.
What types of entertainment did you make?
We could get together. Sunday afternoon, they played guitar. We were sitting singing. I went out on the hillside. We were sitting. Nobody thought of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask somebody, come over and have coffee with us. Come over tonight and have supper with us. And I do remember when the fishermen come home. Oh, they had a big, big halibut. And then they cut up all the halibut. There wasn't one in the neighborhood that didn't have fresh halibut when they come. We gave to everybody.
You gave it away?
Yeah.
Well, you had too much, or?
Well, he took it home,
mm-hmm.
so we could give, divide with somebody else.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have it.
Uh-huh.
And talk about it as a blessing. Oh, what a blessing.
To get the halibut. You like the
to
fresh
get,
fish?
Yeah, to share.
Oh, to share.
To share.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was a blessing.
Do you think the church was important in Bothell for keeping people together?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I know people that never went to church and we thought, oh, how tragic. People didn't go to church. We had such a fellowship. Well, we was Christian people. And we had good pastor, we had good neighbor. All of us went to church Sunday morning. And then come summer, it was the church picnic. And then we have the bazaar in the fall, and the young people have their entertainment, or they have an ice cream social. I took the basket and somebody was bidding on the basket, you know.
What was in the basket then? Something to eat, or?
Oh yes, food. Uh-huh. A food basket. Oh,
you would auction it.
Auction it, uh-huh. You know. Uh-huh. I remember one time it was awful cute. My husband made a doll buggy, not a buggy, but a cradle. Uh-huh. Beautiful, painted it white with blue trimming on it, and filled that thing up full of laughs and all the good thing cookies. And wrapped it up so nobody knew how it looked like. And whoever bought it, you have to go and eat with that one. They bought it, you know. Mm-hmm.
So that was a good prize to.
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
And that money was mostly for the young people, mm-hmm. and they got it for their organization,
for their church group.
Mm-hmm.
So were you active in other community groups then, or was it pretty much the church, for example? Did you belong to Daughters of Norway in those years?
No, there was nothing there. There was nothing bottled. It was the Demolay, and we never took part in that.
Mm-hmm.
It was strictly the church.
Mm-hmm. When did you revisit Norway?
The first time I went back to Norway was in 47.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took my youngest daughter with. My oldest daughter was married at that time, and he lived in Anchorage. My boy was in California.
How did you decide to go back then in 47?
Oh, we wanted to go back a long time before, but there was no money.
Mm-hmm.
But after the war, my father died during the war. My mother was alive. And I do remember I made all that money for the ticket. I was working in a restaurant.
In a restaurant? Mm. A waitress, were you? Or?
No, I was in the salad room. I made all the salad
made
and all
salad.
The pie.
Mm-hmm. Where was that? In the bottle?
That was near Bottle. You call it Kenmore.
Uh-huh. So you worked there to save
I
money?
I was there for 8 seasons working there. They have it open from spring to fall, closed in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. What was it like to see Norway again?
We was very worrying how it would be. It was right after the war, you know, the German was in Norway for many, many years. And all of us was kind of wondering, how would it be? We come there, everything was fine. They had so very little at that time. That was in 47 we went. And I do remember my mother had so little. They couldn't buy any kettles or coffee pots or anything during the war. And when I was there, I was on Novigrad, and they just got a new shipment. And I brought quite a bit of stuff. I never have seen anybody so blessed pleased as she was. She got new casseroles. She could cook decent. She wasn't afraid anymore. But when my mother started to talk about the German, what they went through. I had such a goose pimple, I was shaking. I thought, my, what those people have been going through. But the highlight was for the meat, the relatives, my mother.
Meet your other relatives too?
Oh, I had uncle and aunt, cousins.
During the war, were you able to communicate, write letters back and forth,
no.
Or was that all blacked out?
No.
You didn't have any
nothing,
word?
No
word?
No word.
How many years did you have no word then?
Around 4.5, 5 years.
Did Did you ride over there trying to get word, or did you just know?
We went through the Red Cross,
uh-huh.
which was very hard. It was really an emergency
uh-huh.
if you should come through that.
Oh, I see. You were supposed to use that for an emergency.
Yes, if there was an emergency.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just hoped and prayed and waited.
Uh-huh.
What bad news, what good news we will hear after the war was over. But I do remember that day the war was over. Very few of us neighbors up in Battle, they called it for Norway Hill, where we lived. Very few, there wasn't crying and waiting. Is mother alive? Is dad alive?
Uh-huh.
It was a wonderful feeling to know, but it also was a wonderful anticipation if we was going, what we was going to hear.
Uh-huh.
But everything turned out.
And have you been back any other times to Norway?
I've been back 5 times.
5 times. Why do you think you keep going back?
Well, I have my brother and my sister.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel...
And we felt like we belong here, but we belong in Norway too.
Mm-hmm.
We want to keep the communication
mm-hmm.
and see the progress. Now, after I come over here, special since I married Mr. Tollefson.
Yes, and when did you marry Mr. Tollefson?
In 68.
68,
uh-huh. We have had so many from Norway. You know, last year, I had 6 people for 10 weeks. That was enough.
Your relatives or his relatives?
No,
or?
That was my relatives. Uh-huh. I had 3 for 5 weeks, and then after they left, the day after they left, I picked the other one up on the airport for another 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that was enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I have had all of his folks. 1 year we had 4, his brother and his wife and his daughter and her husband. We had them for 5.5 weeks. Then we had a niece of him for 4 weeks. And then we had 2 years ago, we had 4 people.
So you really keep up the contact with
really
your Norwegian relatives.
And now we talk between Norway, yeah, just like I talk over to next door.
You call on the phone?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It costs too much for us, but they call every so often.
Do they?
Yeah.
When they come over and stay with you here in Tacoma, do you speak Norwegian with them?
Quite a bit. We have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of them don't even know English.
Well,
but now we had our daughter to his niece. She's wonderful. She went down to Oregon and she was there for 5 weeks. And she attended University of Bergen. She was beautiful. She spoke so well.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years ago we had another couple here, young people. Nothing to it.
Mm-hmm. So some can speak English and some
yeah,
can't.
Yeah, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Have your children kept up with the Norwegian language at all?
Not very. My daughter, oldest daughter, she had been home a couple of 3 times
yes.
in Norway.
Well, we forgot to mention, you did have other children then. Once you got back to the United States.
I had 1 girl.
You had, so you 3 children altogether.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that girl is married to Reverend Sigvaland.
And just for the tape, what was your Mr. Mikkelsen's first name?
Lars.
Lars Mikkelsen was your husband. Uh-huh. How important do you think your Norwegian heritage has been in your life?
Very, very important. I couldn't let go of that for anything in the world.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it my childhood's dreams we had. We was brought up that way, and I could never let go of the heritage.
Do you maintain your heritage still in your life, do you
oh
think?
Oh, yes.
In what ways?
Well, in our customs.
Mm-hmm.
in the pod, in our thinking.
Mm-hmm. What about your thinking? What do you think is a, what's an example of Norwegian thinking? What's important to Norwegian people?
Well, I think maybe I'm old now, but with us it had been more the church and more the association with missionary, with good thing in life like Bible studies and so forth.
Those things are important. What else do you think shows the Norwegian life? Do you belong to any organizations right now that carry on Norwegian tradition?
Oh, yes. I belong to the Daughters of Norway
mm-hmm.
and to the Nordlands Club.
Nordlandslaget?
Mm-hmm, Nordlandslaget. And of course, that is not much, but we have the, of course, we belong to St. Mark Lutheran Church and the Senior Citizen Group.
Mm-hmm.
So we are busy old people.
I see you're embroidering a, is it a pillowcase? Right now you say that's for Daughters of Norway.
That's for the, mm-hmm, for the Paul Festival.
What types of things do you do in the Daughters of Norway then?
Really, I am not so good. We entertain now. We have two circles mm-hmm. in the Daughters of Norway, Circle 1, Circle 2. I belong to Circle 2 and we meet once a month. And so does Circle 1. And of course, then we have the Daughters of Norway. We have the first Thursday in the month and the third Thursday. So we are busy.
Mm-hmm. You're making, you're sewing, you're embroidering, and then do you sell these things a special time of the year?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. We have our dinner mm-hmm. in September, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have both the food and the fancy work and the cookie sale and what have you.
And where do you hold that?
Norman Hall.
Do you do anything special for the 17th of May? The Daughters of Norway?
Not really. I don't do too much. But now the organization do.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, all the Norwegian organization will have 17th of May this
mm-hmm.
year too.
What types of activities do you do with Nordlandslaget, the North Light Club?
Really, Nordlandslaget is more of a social club
mm-hmm.
to keep the Norwegian together. There is not any bazaars or anything. We don't have that.
No selling of things?
No. But we do come together once a month. And we have different programs. And special during summer when we can get people from Norway. We enjoy to have them. And we meet once a month. I imagine you know Arne Pedersen. He is our president.
What do you think it is about the Norwegians in particular that many Norwegians have kept up their contact with their native country the way some other countries haven't done? What keeps it alive here, do you think?
Well, and to me, I think it's born in me.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I like to write letters. Of course, I expect to hear something from Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And we can keep up our communication that way. And also, I think most of us, I would hope, we leave Norway in a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never forget Norway. Never.
But are you glad you came to the United States?
Yes, I am. Right now, I couldn't live in Norway.
You couldn't live in Norway?
No, I wouldn't go to Norway and live.
Why is that?
Well, through the years, 50-some years, you are used to it here. You have your family here.
Mm-hmm.
You belong here. And I have heard a lot of people that go to Norway and live, and they are not happy. Because they have, but still, to me, Norway is Norway.
It's a special place, but the United States is your home.
But in my heart, Norway is Norway, and still I am American citizen.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something truly, but in my heart, I am Norwegian.
In your heart, you are Norwegian. Do you have a favorite expression in Norwegian, a prayer, a poem, or anything that you might like to say in Norwegian to finish off the tape?
Well, I really don't know. I'm getting awful old and forgetful, so but all I want to say, I thank God I had the privilege to come here. I have had a happy family.
Mm-hmm.
And I got married again. We have a wonderful relationship. He is a wonderful man.
Anything else you'd like to add, Mrs. Tollefson?
I think that would be your stuff.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So it must be inherited.
You had a sister who came to Tacoma to live?
Yeah.
And then she went back?
Yeah.
Did she? And she stayed in Norway when she went back?
She stayed in Norway.
Why do you think she stayed,
Because she was too old to do anything else.
Uh-huh.
She said, I'm too old to go back to Norway, to America now.
Mm-hmm.
So she had her house built, and they call it the doll home.
The doll home. Mm-hmm. In Norway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you do you have a little prayer or a saying in Norwegian that you would like to say for the tape? Do you have a special table blessing that you have used in your family? Or
oh yes.
Can
oh,
you
yes.
share one in Norwegian?
Yeah. Yes, the name of the Lord. At spise og drikke for ditt ord. Deg Gud til ære og oss til gang, så får vi mat I Jesu navn.
Mm-hmm. And a little earlier I heard you singing to your great-granddaughter.
Uh-huh.
Was that a Norwegian song?
What was that?
Mom, do you remember what the song was that she was singing?
I don't know. I think that you're probably going to have to do speech
okay.
if you're going to.
Is there anything else you'd like to add for the tape, Mrs. Anderson? Anything else you'd like to say?
Well, now we say that prayer when we want to go to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And then we say the prayer after, and that I Jesu navn så har vi ett. Av dine gaver jeg mett. Gud gir oss der av nytt og gavn at vi kan prise ditt hellige navn. Amen.
Thank you very much.